more like we used to. Just sing a few songs, hear a little generic message, and we think it's all right with God. Saints of God, God is displeased. He's displeased with his church. Jesus gave his disciples, and we're part of the disciple group, you know, as believers, the same power. You know, he called us to go in Mark 16:15-19. Mark said, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, don't be sitting down in church preaching, letting the same group of people come in every Sunday. You go out and preach and teach. He said, you go out. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. See, it's up to you to teach both groups, the ones that believe and the ones that don't believe. He's got something set up for the ones that don't believe. You don't have to worry about that. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, listen, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. People don't even believe in tongues. A lot of people don't nowadays. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Listen to God's work that's got to keep going. It cannot stop. God is not dead. Jesus is not dead. The Holy Spirit is not dead. The work of God cannot stop. Saints of God, don't you be deceived. Don't listen to the devil. Nothing has stopped. Healings haven't stopped. Miracles haven't stopped. Prophecies haven't stopped. God is still talking. And there are people that have governed their life, and they're living their lives so that God can speak through them. And they still can get a word through to people so that they can know that prophecies have not stopped. Jesus gave special assignments and authority and charge to us with power and authority to carry out the works of the church. What that means is, when we know what is required of us by Jesus and our Father, you know, we know what he called us to do. This is what we know. We are called, we are anointed, we are appointed, we are ordained by God to do these works of the ministry, to preach and teach everybody, every creature, he said. You can teach and preach every creature, every person. That's what he wants us to do. Saints of God, this is what God has given us to do. God wants us to lay hands on the sick. He gave us these gifts. And if you look at some more of the scripture, he said he gave us power, you know.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, died to save man. The teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bible used in Matthew chapter 2. And I want to lift out verse 11 and possibly 12. St. Matthew chapter 2. We want to continue with the Christmas story. So that we don't ever forget the gift that keeps on giving. Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the little child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Verse 12 says, "And being warned of the Lord in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I just want to lift out for your understanding when the Bible says that these wise men, when they saw Jesus with his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject and share with you that wise men still worship him. Wise men still worship him. Notice I didn't say wise men still worship them, because the Catholic Church and several other denominations worship Mary as deity as well. But I want to be clear what the scripture says. The scripture says, "And when they had gone into the house, when they entered in, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." But their focus was on who? The young child. "And when they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped" who? The record says him. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts unto" what does your word say? Not them, but him. And so it's important to see that there is a clarity in the language and in the understanding that these wise men worshiped Jesus. Now, there are some things I want you to look at right before. I don't want to do a customary sermon, but I do want you to think a little bit about these wise men, because there are some points you will gather that give to each of us a greater understanding about being wise when it comes to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I think is so important that the Christian church recognizes is that you don't just show up to church on Sunday morning and expect to have a worship experience. Your whole experience happens long before you get to church. And I think you also need to know that when you got your mind made up to have church, that there is an adversary, an enemy, who will always purpose to distract or destroy your desire to have worshipful experiences with the Lord. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, don't think that just because it's Sunday that there won't be no problems, that you're going to just whistle your way on in the church. Sometimes you go through more hell on a Sunday morning than you do any day of the week trying to get to God. You have more issues you deal with. More stuff comes up. Folk have more problems than everything else because you're pressing your way to get to God and to have meaningful worship with Him. Now, I want you to see that these wise men, the Bible says they traveled from afar. It was an Eastern culture. They were traveling from Eastern Oriental countries, and they were wise men. Some say astrologers who watched the stars, who were quite adept at understanding and interpreting the stars. And on the night Jesus was born, his star appeared in the cosmos. And it twinkled like no other star. And they knew. Now, these were not all friends hanging out together. These were all wise men. And legend also says that these were all kings in their own right. But they were also magi. These were wise men who had great knowledge and astrological understanding, and they knew that there was a prophecy about a king who would be the king of kings. And these men traveled from afar, and some of y'all got problems just traveling across town. It took them 2 years. Listen. And a whole lot of trouble to get from where they were to where Jesus was. But they made up their minds that they were going to worship him, that they were going to have an experience with him. And I want you to see this, because in verse 2, their minds are so made up. Listen at that. When they get to the Jerusalem area and they're looking for him, they're asking the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to what? To worship. Listen, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is a different spirit about the people whose minds are made up for worship. They don't come for all of that foolishness. They don't come for all that shucking and jive. They don't come for all the gossip. They don't come to look at who's wearing what. They don't come to be a part of all of that little stuff. Look, the old folk put it this way. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And then this is something else they say. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. I come to lift him up. I come to shout for joy. I come to worship him. And see, that's what God is looking for. True, real, wise worshipers. Well, let's see what they had to go through. First of all, to be able to be wise worshipers, they had to walk in faith. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, because this is important. To be a wise worshiper, you've got to walk in faith. For 2 years, they walked following the star that led them to Jesus. But they started that journey of 2 years, starting with the first step of faith. Faith. Now, not only did they need faith, but they needed something else to go along with faith, and that was focus. They stayed focused. No matter what came up, what troubles happened, what the journey brought to them, they made up their mind. They were coming to worship him, and nothing could detract, nothing could deter, nothing can detour that. Their minds were made up to worship him, and they stayed focused. Too many times we let every little thing cause us to lose our focus when it comes to the Lord. We start getting dressed, rip stockings. Oh, that's it. I,
I can't go to church. This is my last prayer. You go everywhere else. You do everything else. You prepare yourself for everything else. You get a flat tire, you still call AAA, go on in to work. You got other members, you got friends, you got folk. You could call, say this, I got a flat tire, pick me up. I don't want to miss church today. But that's too much trouble. We let everything deter us. Y'all get the point. I don't have to believe it any further. But their focus kept them from letting anything deter them. And then thirdly, they walked until it came to pass. They had follow through. See, you got to have faith, but you got to have focus, and you've got to follow through. In other words, the devil, the enemy himself, once you say, I'm going to, he starts trying to stop you. But it's up to you to keep going through. I started in my Jesus, and I'm going through. I made up my mind. And when you make up your mind to follow through, you do. Now, they're talking to Herod. Now, Herod is pretending. Now, you know, Herod is a greater king than they are, but they're not impressed by Herod. They didn't bow to Herod. They didn't submit to Herod. They didn't give Herod any treasure or gift. They just questioned Herod. Where is he? Because, again, if they knew what Jesus was doing in Bethlehem, then he should have known what Jesus was doing. He was born King of the Jews. Now, Herod didn't have a right. These Jews that he was over were caught in captivity. They were not his own people. He was not a true king. He had a murderous and criminal mindset. There is so much historians like Josephus report about him. So he became alarmed when he heard about the prophecy being near. So he questions them, when did you see this star? And they say, well, it's been about 2 years now. Uh-huh. And where did you see this at? Well, we were living, you know, we were back in the east, and we've journeyed 2 years, and we know he's supposed to be, you know, born somewhere around here. And they said, well, I understand it's supposed to be Bethlehem, but here's what I want you to do. You go seek him. You find him. Now, first problem with that, if you're looking for Jesus, you don't send nobody else. It's a personal thing. You got to go yourself. They say to him, listen, you go and find him. Now notice what else they say. He says, and when you find him, bring me back word. Not send me back word. Because what he wanted to do was, he wanted to get rid of Jesus, and he wanted to get rid of those who were going to worship Jesus. And his plot started in his dark, evil heart. And when they left there, they headed on to Bethlehem, and the star continued to lead them until they got over where Jesus was. And it stopped. And there, record says he goes in, they go into the house, and when they see him with Mary, listen to this now, they fall down, not bow down. I want to share three things with you about this, about their worship, so you'll understand this. The reason why they fell down is because they were on a 2-year trek to find the King of Kings. The star had led them and stopped over the place, signifying this is where he is. they were so overcome with honor that they had discovered the King of Kings when they realized that the baby boy, 2 years old now, was the one they were looking for, their body just went limp and they fell before him. See, you got to understand, when you're in the presence of God and you certainly become conscious of whose presence you are in the midst of, you don't act like you're in the presence of man. You know who he is and you know who you are to him, and you treat him as such. Protocol was to bow, but worship was to get down on your knees. And they didn't take no time. They fell down on their knees to honor him. So one thing we know about wise worshipers is they honor God. Somebody say honor God. You see, when you're worshiping God, you got to be filled with the honor of the Lord. You got to know who it is that you are worshiping. You got to make him know you know who he is and what he's done for you and all of the wonderful things that make up this worship experience. And they fell down first to show the great honor. And so real wise worshipers still today in the Eastern culture, even today in the presence of monarchy and in the presence of royalty and in the presence of those who are deemed worthy, men still bow down in front of them. And even as it relates to God, they still bow down before God in the Eastern countries today. And so the next thing you'll see in their worship was humility, great humility. You know, my brothers and sisters, when you're in the presence of greatness, you don't try and act like you all of that. You might be a big fish in the little pond here, but in the presence of the God of the universe, the God who's made everything there is to make and who has all, you don't act like you are anything other than who he says you are before him. And they humble themselves in the most humblest way they knew how. And then notice, I want you to know something else. And in their worship, it was not only honored worship, it was not only humility in their worship, but it was thirdly heartfelt worship. Heartfelt worship. Well, preacher, how do you know it was heartfelt worship? Listen. If anybody is going to fall down the moment they recognize that that's the one they came to see, that he is the King of Kings, that means he supersedes them and their level, and they gave him the respect that he deserved, which meant they humbled themselves to give him that respect. Do you not know the worship that would come from that experience at that point would be heartfelt? That's why you've got to worship him for yourself. Nobody else can tell God how you feel like you can tell him. Nobody else can thank God like you can because of what he's done for you. Your worship experience has got to be personal. It can't be like everybody else. So what, they're doing that in their experience. But if that ain't where you are, if that's not on the page you own, don't let what everybody else is doing affect your worship. You know what he's done for you. You know where he's brought you from. You know the doors he's opened up. You know the way he's made for you. You know you wouldn't be nothing without him. When you get into that place, you're whining and crying and snotting and snotting. But you don't care. You might come in here looking good and glamorous and all of that, but when the Holy Ghost hit, you lose the hat. All the makeup starts to run. The eyelashes fall off. Yeah, the lipstick gets spread all over the teeth. Yeah. You find yourself snotting and ain't got no tissue, so you just don't care, because this ain't no playtime. He's been just that good. You don't know you wasn't there. So you don't care about what they think, how they feel. It's a me and Jesus thing going on. Now, when you get through, you... You might get embarrassed after it's over, but when it's going on, don't touch me. Let me be. It was heartfelt. Now, let me tell you a real reason why I know it was heartfelt. Because of what happened after that. The Bible says, after they had worshiped like this, the Bible says, they opened up their treasures. Let me tell you something. If you give God yourself, you have no problem giving God your substance. If you give God yourself, you have no problem giving God your service. If you give God, y'all getting quiet on me now. If you give God yourself, you'll have no problem giving God your stewardship. But when you don't give God you, everything else is like pulling teeth from you. I have an evangelist who's been out on the road for about 8 years. She's been an evangelist since 84. But for evangelizing and praying on the road for 8 years, listen. And out of 8 years, she only missed one Saturday. And that's because she was in the hospital. And she was trying to get the doctors to let her out. But they thought she was having a heart attack. So they kept her in. Now, she's already told her family and friends and everything, and their friends and all the good folk who had funerals on Saturday. She said, if it's between 11 and 3 o'clock, I can't come. So don't get mad, because I'm telling you what I'm committed to the Lord, I can't change it for man. I'm not here to try and save the dead. I'm here to try and save the living. But let me tell you why she can make a commitment like that, because she had already given herself to the Lord. And when you give yourself to the Lord, you ain't worried about pleasing man and what man thinks about you, because it's all about pleasing God. They got mad with Jesus, but Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Go thou and preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, to lost souls. We like the word when it's convenient, but we don't like it when it touches our situation. And so when they got through worshiping, their heart was open, and so they opened their treasure. Now listen to this. When they opened their treasure, the Bible says that they presented unto him gifts. The word presented is a formal term. They didn't just go in their pocket and give him stuff. It was a formal presentation or ceremony that they gave to honor the King of Kings. You see, my brothers and sisters, the problem with a whole lot of us is when offering time come, we just run in our pockets, our purses, or what have you, and just throw out, try and figure out, give them $2, $3. Four, maybe five, I don't know. No. Instead of, listen, they knew what they were going to give Jesus before they left their country. It was no guesswork to it. They had set that aside. This is what belongs to the Lord. And 2 years of traveling didn't permit them to touch it in any kind of way, because that was set aside for God. Hear me, people of God, hear me. Now, when that time came, they formally presented each one individually their gifts to the Lord. But listen at this.
It was no accident. It was providential. Matter of fact, it was prophetic.